you think? Welcome into Scrambled Eggs, everyone, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast here on Crack Sidewalks. Joe McCann and Phil Bush, both in Milwaukee for a change, so if the audio sounds different, it's because we are actually in the same room, which is a rarity. But hey, we got some good stuff to talk about today, Phil.
Yeah, we're gonna stare longingly into each other's eyes as we talk about what a great game that was.
It's not awkward at all. But we're going to talk about, first, just the thing that's most recently on everyone's minds, a win over Creighton at home on Senior Day, and the feeling that I believe Marquette locked up a tournament berth. I almost feel comfortable saying that after a Saturday's game.
I'm 100% locked up. It's a question of seeding right now, right? I mean, we could, with that Creighton win, despite some commentators' comments to the contrary, I think we're locked in. It's just a question of a seeding. I mean, we could still end up in Dayton on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, but we're in the tournament, and any one of us would have taken that had this started with the season.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think we kind of, you know, going back to the preseason podcast, Bill, I think we both kind of penciled in Marquette as a bubble team.
Yep.
Like, I don't think either one of us had strong feelings about them making the tournament before the season, but I think we both had a feeling that if things went well, they could be right there, and I think that's where we are. I think Marquette's in at the moment. Of course, we have our blue and gold blinders on, but I feel confident saying it almost to the point that the only way we get left out is, like, we're that one or two mistakes the committee makes.
Right,
so
yeah.
It seems like there's always a team or two where everyone's looking at the bracket and say, how'd that team get in and this team didn't?
Correct.
I don't want to be this team, the one that didn't get in. So maybe I won't say I'm going to be 100% confident on Selection Sunday, but I definitely feel a lot better than I did about 10 days ago.
Right, yeah, because the team has really kind of played. They played the schedule that was in front of them, and they beat the teams they needed to beat with the exception of Providence. Like, that's the only glaring omission. If we had beat Providence, we're talking seeding and probably single-digit seeding.
Right.
At this point, it's gonna be tight. We're gonna have to do some good stuff in the Big East tournament to get to a single-digit seed, probably.
Yeah, who knows? Some brackets even already have us there. Some brackets, I know Matt Velasquez said the one bracket has us in an 8-9 game against Virginia Tech.
There was also one bracket I saw where there was an 8-9 game against Wisconsin, which
I don't think the committee will do that. I don't think they'll do rematches in the first round, but if that's what they have to do, because it looks like there might be a bunch of Big Ten teams that are 8-9, they don't want them to play each other, so we could get stuck with that. But we'll worry about seeding and stuff maybe next week. But you know, for now, Phil, I just want to talk about just the win over Creighton specifically and kind of what happened in that game. Juwan Johnson, even though the people who made the ticket didn't know who he was.
That was embarrassing.
He showed up to play, and he had a very good senior day. Definitely got Marquette off to a really hot start that really they never really relinquished.
Right. Yeah, the team you know, what's funny is I was tweeting with Paint Touches before the game saying, is there a possibility to have a recreation of what happened in Omaha? And the consensus seemed to be, no, not really. Patton's not going to be in foul trouble. Creighton's a better team than that. They can play defense. And that game was largely a recreation of the Omaha game, where Marquette's offense could not be stopped unless we stopped ourselves. And Marquette's defense came up with just enough stops to get to kind of extend that lead and own that lead.
Yeah, well, it didn't get to 100. It certainly felt like a first to 100 wins type game.
Yes.
So that's basically kind of how it went. It's just another shootout. And there, who knows, we may see Creighton again in the Big East tournament,
yep,
depending how things shake out. But, I mean, a really good performance by Marquette at home in front of a great crowd. It was a sellout if it was
Yeah, close. It was a sellout.
Yeah, it was close to it. I mean, it was a full house. It was a great atmosphere. And me personally, as a person who doesn't get back to Milwaukee all that often, it was cool to be back in the Bradley Center. That may have been the first time I've seen Marquette win in person in a long time.
Like, probably.
Every time I come up here, I feel like they lose. But so that jinx has been broken.
Good. So you can come back.
Yeah, so thank you guys for taking that burden off my shoulders. But, you know, let's get back to the feeling. Well, is there anything else about yesterday's game that you want to break down aside from the high scoring and the way Juwan played? Oh, by the way, Luke Fisher with the play of the day.
Yeah.
After the game, congrats to him and getting engaged. So that was a surprise. I guess Wojo didn't even know about it.
Yeah, that was a fun little thing. Most of the fans had headed for the seats, so they didn't really get a chance to see it. But it was very cool. So I like that. I kind of half jokingly wonder whether or not he would have proposed had they lost.
Yeah.
But congrats to them, and I'm excited. Wish them a lifetime of happiness. But Fisher played well in the game too, right? I mean, that was between he and Helt, they both performed fairly well, which was big because Patton was largely kept in check, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I never really felt like Patton really got going. I mean, he had a few dunks, and you know, he's going to get his in every game he plays. But the defensive effort, while maybe not outstanding, was good enough. I mean, that's all we ask for is, you know, just keep their effective field goal percentage below ours, and that's essentially what happened.
Well, and what was crazy was the Juwan Johnson, especially the first half. Juwan Johnson, he ran into a little trouble in the second half and was asked to sit down for a bit because after the missed dunked and several I don't have to get back on defense moments. But in the first half, the Juwan Johnson we got with solid defense and even better offense is what we've been kind of hoping for all year. So, do you think this is a corner turned, or is this just a? It was his senior day, a lot of enthusiasm, and everything kind of broke his way.
I think it was an up in the roller coaster of ups and downs that has been this Marquette season. And we may have another down on the way, and that's okay. And we just had – I think we've had just enough ups to get into the tournament. And, you know, speaking of the roller coaster of emotions of Marquette season and, you know, whether or not they're in, you mentioned it earlier, Phil. There was a bit of a discussion on Twitter on Saturday evening,
yep.
Sunday morning about – how deserving Marquette is, and Rob Doster, who's a college basketball writer, kind of pointed out, and he's not wrong, but Marquette has been a little lucky. They've played both Creighton and Xavier twice without their point guards. That's four of their wins. That's four of their biggest wins. And the interesting thing there, and I think Payne Touch has broke it down pretty well, is you know, if you want to discount what Marquette has done, I mean, I kind of get it, but if you're saying Creighton and Xavier are garbage too, I think you got to leave them out too.
So right.
Like, I mean, you got to take everyone out of the tournament from the Big East. I mean, you got to take three other teams out if you're going to take Marquette.
One, you can only play the schedule in front of you, right? And I mean, you know, Creighton's schedule along the way has been solid. You know, ever since they went down, and yeah, they went 4 of 6, but they played Villanova, they played Xavier, they played Seton Hall, they played Providence. So they played the top half of the – they played Butler. They beat Butler.
I mean, it's a tough league to go through without your starting point guard.
Right, yeah. Right. But I mean, they still – they played quality. It wasn't like in the back half of the season they played DePaul twice and you know, St. John's or Georgetown twice, right? I mean, they had a few of those games, but they were playing the top five – top six of the Big East, and yeah, they got some losses, but so did everyone else.
And they have no bad losses. I don't think Creighton has a maybe Georgetown's a bad loss for them, but and that's they I think that they actually had Watson for that game.
Yeah,
I forget exactly when he went down, but I mean you get my point. And like you said, Phil, you can only play who's in front of you, and it's not Marquette's fault that these teams showed up to their games without their point guards, and Marquette got wins. And I think Xavier and Creighton, both still solid teams. Are they Final Four teams? No, probably not. I don't know if they're even Sweet 16 teams, to be honest with you. But they're still good teams. They're still tournament-worthy teams that Marquette swept. And it counts for something. And when you're comparing Marquette's resume to the resume of other teams that are on the bubble trying to get in, I don't think that there are a ton who will have a better collection of wins than Marquette has. You know, no matter how much you want to discount Xavier and Creighton.
Well, and I mean, like Xavier, their six wins were against Villanova, Providence, Marquette twice, Butler, and Seton Hall. That's top five in that's the top five or six teams in the conference since they lost Sumner. And again, you know, yes, they're playing without their talented, but do you think Watson makes a big difference on the defensive end?
Yes.
I mean, Creighton had plenty of offense. Do you think he makes the difference on the defensive end to shut down Marquette's offense?
He has to help a little. I mean, maybe
right.
He might check Howard and Rousey a little bit better. And if that's a difference of, say, two or three, four possessions that don't go Marquette's way, maybe that is a difference in the game. Who knows? He's an All-American-type player. So, I mean, I think, yeah, losing him definitely makes a difference. So,
yeah, that's fair. But the thing I struggle with is this, like, retroactive discounting of wins. Like, the stats are what the stats are, right? I mean, Xavier is still a top 50 team, even going 1-6 in their last seven games. So that still counts for something, right?
Sure. Like I said, are they what they were back in November? No. I mean, back in November, I would have said they could be a team that could go to the Sweet 16 or Elite 8. Right now, I'm not sure they get out of the first weekend, but they are still good enough to be in the tournament. And I don't know how many teams would be excited to see them in the first round. I mean,
right.
I like say if I were, You know, if I'm a 7 seed, I wouldn't want to see 10 seed Xavier in the first round. I think they're still a very good team. Yeah, they've struggled, especially because, you know, in part of this stretch when they lost Sumner, they also lost Blewett for a few of those games.
That's true. One of the Marquette wins was without Blewett.
So, and Blewett's going to play in the tournament. So yep. I still wouldn't want to see Xavier, and Chris Mack is as good as any coach in the Big East, maybe the country. So.
Yeah, swears a lot, but other than that, great coach.
Who doesn't swear a lot?
That's true. Yeah, but good thing there's not a camera on me when I'm watching the game.
I don't think Wojo exactly has a choir boys vocabulary either on the sideline. I don't know of any – many coaches that don't cuss on that. But it was just funny because he saw in the Marquette game that he had a few choice words for the referees. But he's a great coach, and I wouldn't want to see him in the tournament. Yeah, did Marquette beat those teams at full strength? No, but they did beat them. They have sweeps over two of the Big East teams that I would say are locks for the tournament.
Yep.
And I think lock may be a strong word, but I am as close to saying lock as I have ever been this season with this Marquette
right.
team. Like I said, there could be a stunning surprise, especially if a few of those at-large bids slip away during championship week, which tends to happen. But even if that happens, I don't know if there are that many teams that are going to leap ahead of Marquette, so much to the fact that Marquette is not only knocked out of like the first 64, the buys, I guess, whatever you want to call it, or even pushed past and be out of Dayton.
Well, I mean, are there six teams in the Big East you put in ahead of Marquette? I mean, obviously, Nova, Butler.
We said this in the last podcast, Bill. I think the committee actually does have a tough – I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth here. The committee does have a tough call with Xavier.
Yep.
Because of the way they – I mean, the way they finished, and they are going to the tournament without Sumner.
Right.
And if it comes down to six or seven Big East teams, I think Xavier is the seventh Big East team right now.
Doster's point, like, if Xavier is no longer a quality win for Marquette, then they're not a quality team to be in the tournament, right? I mean, so if you're going to exclude anyone on that criteria, it's Xavier, not Marquette, right?
Unfortunately, I think that may be true because, I mean, Marquette has the head-to-head sweep. And, yeah, it was without Sumner, but Sumner's not going to play in the tournament either. It's
right.
Not like Sumner's coming back for it. So, if it's between six or seven teams, I would have Marquette ahead of Xavier right now. And I feel terrible for Xavier because I mean, Marquette fans, we've been there.
Yep.
I mean, it didn't cost us the tournament bid when Dominic James went down, but
it cost us a win in the tournament.
Yeah, it may have cost us a couple wins.
Yeah,
in the tournament,
for sure.
Depending how that season goes, because Marquette, I don't want to go through 2009 again. It just hurts too much. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, it was very painful. But
yeah, so I feel for Xavier. I hope they make the tournament and get rewarded for their body of work. But you know, with the bubble the way it is, and there are going to be a lot of teams that are going to have resumes very similar, just all kind of clustered together there. And I wouldn't want to be in the committee necessarily and picking who's going to go among these, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 teams that are fighting for those last, 5, 6, 7 spots.
Right.
It's going to be tough to pick those teams out. And so while I feel confident saying Marquette is in, beating Seton Hall on Thursday would be quite nice.
Yeah, well, I mean, the only thing, if you're looking from a numbers and a how you judge a team and whether they're in or not, the only number that gives me any kind of pause is the RPI. If they're using that as a metric.
Right.
Now, next year they go away from the RPI, supposedly.
I think
they devalue it.
It's going to be some of the numbers like KenPom and some other things like that are going to be a little more equal footing with RPI, I think, starting next year.
Right. And so if you look at the RPI number, as of today when we're recording this on Sunday, it's 55?
Yeah, it's about 50. It's in the mid to high 50s, so like 55, 57, something like that.
Which is probably on the highest end of an RPI you want to be and still feel relatively safe, right? But that is the only number that gives you any pause, right? I mean, KenPom has Marquette as the 28th best team in the country, which raise your hand if you thought that was going to be a thing that happened
that
in the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, that seems crazy high, but I mean, I think that's a credit to how well Marquette has played on the season as a whole.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, other metrics for Marquette, what are they, 7-4 against the RPI top 50? Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's – or 7-6, sorry. 7-6 against the RPI top 50. One of those teams is Seton Hall, which they could play again.
Or they will play again.
Yeah, which they will play again. Seton Hall's like right at 50, so hopefully they don't move too much. So that Anonymous Eagle was tweeting about that on Sunday morning. That's like kind of a catch-22. Obviously, you want to win the game.
Right.
But you could cost yourself a couple RPI top 50 wins by knocking Seton Hall down a peg. But if you lose, well, you got another RPI top 50 loss.
Right.
But that's just the way it is and the way the numbers work out. But just I think the best plan would be to beat Seton Hall and then beat Xavier. That, or beat Nova.
Nova, yes.
That would solve everything.
Yeah, that would be a no-doubter. Once you beat Seton Hall, I mean, I'm probably much closer to a lock than you are. I mean, at this point, they're a lock. It's just a question of where they end up in my book.
I think they should. I mean, I feel so good about them being in. I'm just worried about a bad surprise on Selection Sunday.
Yeah.
Like,
well, yeah. If somebody beating Seton Hall gives you room to be 100% confident.
Yeah,
right?
And then, like, you know, the things you can't control, like, say, if Vanderbilt somehow gets a win over Florida and Kentucky in the SEC tournament or things like that.
Right.
You know, things that are just way out of your control. But I think Marquette's resume is good enough. I really do. We've been saying for weeks, Phil, that 10 wins is the magic number, and here we are at 10 wins. I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah.
I think they should be in.
I mean, especially the wins they have, right? I mean, yeah. So I guess the question would be, like, if they had 10 wins and they lost to Xavier once and they had swept Georgetown, would we be better? No, all our numbers would be worse, right? Our RPI would be worse and stuff. So the 10-8 we have is solid, and it's just a matter of beating Seton Hall removes all doubt. Beating Villanova, and let's be clear, there is no way Georgetown or St. John's beats Villanova in the second game.
Yeah, they would. Yeah, that's right. That's who Nova's going to play, right? The winner of Georgetown, St. John's, yes.
You know, so, I mean, we get a little unlucky break. We would have rather to have been on the bottom half of the bracket and maybe replay
Butler.
You know, get a win there. But, you know, c'est la vie, beat Seton Hall. Now, quite frankly, we should have swept Seton Hall, right?
Yeah, both of those, or the first game, one game against Seton Hall that we lost, that, I mean, that slipped right out of Marquette's hands in the final minute. That's one of those games that we kick ourselves when we're looking at the final totals here. I mean, there are plenty of wins or plenty of losses that you could kick yourself over, but Marquette got to 10-8, and that's good enough for me.
Right. So in the Seton Hall game, like, again, I'm not saying that they're definitely going to win, but that Seton Hall game was the first in the away game that they slipped away with. They couldn't rebound on free throws, and they missed some of their own free throws, which we saw a little bit emerge in the Creighton game to make us all a little nervous. But
isn't it just funny how tortured we were? Like, Marquette was up like 15 with 3 minutes left. We're all just still so nervous about it.
Yeah, I was, again, like with the Xavier game, I wasn't comfortable with the lead until sometime 9 o'clock last night.
Yeah, we need all zeros on the clock to say, okay, we got it.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think the Seton Hall game will be a good matchup and one that Marquette should be able to win. I'm not saying they will, but they should be. I don't even know that we know yet. Are they favored in that game? I don't know that it's been posted.
Yeah, I haven't seen a line yet necessarily.
But I would think that Marquette is a favorite in that game. Ken Pom is projecting a win for Marquette.
4-point favorite on Ken Pom, right?
Yep, with a 62% chance. So, I mean, that Ken Pom is saying that it's more likely than not that Marquette beats Seton Hall. And then at that point, you're playing with house money whether or not you beat Villanova.
You can't get downgraded even if you lose by 30 to Villanova.
Right. Well, and quite frankly, there's some argument to be said that once you secure a spot, I don't know that we want to go too deep in the Big East tournament. I mean, you want to win a Big East, but I mean, I have zero data to back this up, but I've always felt like teams that go deep unexpectedly in their conference tournaments, I feel like they flame out early in the NCAA, like Syracuse.
Like Seton Hall last year?
Yeah, like Seton Hall last year. I feel like they flame out early.
There's always a team somewhere nationwide that is red hot the first week of March and fools you, and you pick them to go to the Elite Eight in your bracket.
Yep. Yeah.
And so, but I see what you're saying, but I personally would love to see Marquette win the Big East tournament because I really don't have much expectations for how far they would actually go in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, winning the Big East tournament would be a hell of an accomplishment for this team. So I'm not sure for them to go out early, that's for sure. I want to see them win as many games as possible. And if that means they get a little overrated and then get upset in the first round in the NCAAs, I mean, I don't expect them to do much. Obviously, if I could have my choice one or the other, go to the Final Four, win the Big East tournament. Hell yeah, I want to go to the Final Four.
Right. Yeah, but it's not a zero-sum game. It's not It's not like one or the other. Like, both could happen or neither could happen, right?
Exactly. We've been on both sides of plenty of those.
Yeah,
Going deep in the conference tournament, whatever conference tournament we're in, and then
I mean, Marquette. When was Marquette has never won a conference tournament that I can recall?
They won the Conference USA tournament a long time ago. Like I want to say sometime in the 90s.
Right. Yeah, but well before we were there.
Yeah, like it's like since the turn of the century, like since 2000. No, they have not won any kind of Conference USA or Big East tournament.
Right, because they lost Houston when way in 2003.
Yeah, they lost to UAB in the first round.
Yeah, in the first round. Yeah, that's right.
But I think honestly, the only time I can really remember even Marquette making the finals of a conference tournament was 2002 when they got the rubber match against Cincinnati.
Yes,
that year.
Yes.
That was Wade's first year.
Yeah.
And so they got out to the Conference USA championship game that year and lost to Cincinnati. But yeah, it's, and then since they got in the Big East, it's so freaking hard to win the Big East.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I would love to see them do it. But I personally, if you're asking me for a prediction for the Big East tournament, I'm gonna say that they do beat Seton Hall, even though it'll be Seton Hall will be tough, and that's home away from home for Seton Hall,
right,
since they're just right across the way there in Newark. But I think third round against Seton Hall, I think they can beat them. But I think it comes to an end against Villanova, and then you're just watching for a seed on Selection Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. I think they beat Seton Hall and then lose to Nova. Because, as great as that win was at home against Nova, I don't know that you're going to catch that kind of lightning in a bottle again where Nova hits almost nothing and Marquette scores enough points to win, right?
Yeah, especially on a neutral court.
Right.
So
exactly. I mean, I don't think Marquette's defense is probably a little bit better since they've played Villanova twice, but not like 20-point differential better,
Yeah.
So, but again, I think if they beat Seton Hall, they're probably talking like maybe an 8 seed, but more like a 9 seed, maybe a 10 seed.
Yeah.
And I think if they lose to Seton Hall, it's like one of the last 4 or 5 in.
Yeah, maybe
not in Dayton.
Yeah, maybe we're getting greedy here talking seeds, but I've always been of the opinion I'd rather be a 10 seed than a 9 seed or an 8
yeah,
seed.
Yeah, I agree.
Because the difference between an 8 and a 9 or a 7 and a 10 is probably all the same. All those teams are kind of jumbled up there, and then you're talking about whether you want to meet a number 1 seed in the next round or a 2 seed in the next
round.
I think the gap is a little bit bigger there between the ones and the twos than it is.
Especially this year. I feel like there's like 4 or 5 best teams in the country.
Yeah.
And then everyone else is varying shades of gray.
Yeah, like I would want no part of Kansas or North Carolina, or where they wouldn't put us with Villanova, but I wouldn't want any part of those teams in a second round matchup. Whereas, say we get matched up with a team like UCLA, who I think would certainly beat Marquette, but it would be – I think that would be a fun game to watch.
That would be an amazing game simply because it'd be like 1-4 – it'd be like an NBA All-Star game.
Right, yeah, because UCLA is a team that's noted for not playing a whole lot of defense either.
Right.
And, yeah, that would be an offense. So if I could pick like a juggernaut team to play in the tournament, be the team that knock us out, UCLA, be a fun game.
Yeah, that
would be a thrill to watch, I think.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, I think everyone needs to readjust expectations. We're in the tournament, right? And that should have been the goal all along.
Yep.
We're in the tournament. At this point, whether we win the first weekend, advance to the suites, anything we do other than just lose right away is gravy.
I think so, too. And I think no matter what happens from here on out, Steve Wojciechowski can call his third season a success.
Yes.
We look at this team every game, and so we pick out all the warts on the team because, we see them every week.
Right.
And so we don't see the warts of all the other teams in the country. Believe me, every team has warts, and all of their fans pick it out.
Yep.
Every team has, either gripes about their defense or gripes about their offense or a guy in the starting lineup they don't like or things that the coach does. Except for maybe like Kansas and Duke and Michigan State, maybe all those teams have no problems with their coach. But I think every other team might have like little things about their coach, like, I wish he wouldn't do that,
even the
best teams in the country. I think when you just take a step back and ask yourself, what did they accomplish in Steve Wojciechowski's third season? They took the team one step further than they did the year before.
Correct.
That is, become a tournament team. I don't think they're going to go to the NIT, but even that would be a step forward from last year.
Right.
But I think they're in the NCAA, so I think they took 2 steps forward this year by going from a team that watches the postseason to a team that's going to be in the NCAA.
Well, even look in the last, what is it, 6 games since that Georgetown game, right? I mean, rightfully so, the fan base was kind of apoplectic, right? Because that Georgetown loss was pretty humiliating.
Yeah, it was bad.
Especially the way Georgetown has played of late. They readjusted. They played the teams they had to play. And, with the exception of the Providence game, they did everything they were supposed to do. Wojo made the right moves. He changed lineup. He de-emphasized some of the seniors at certain times. I mean, he sat one of the games, the game immediately following Georgetown, the first Xavier game, he sat his seniors. They only played 14% of the minutes available, right? I mean, that's a gutsy coaching move to say, you know what, seniors, you're not doing it for me. We're going with the youth organization. He's de-emphasized Hanif. Hanif played 3 minutes against Creighton. Like, if I told you before the season that Hanif Cheatham was going to play 3 minutes in a must-win game against Creighton to end the season at home, do you think we're dancing?
No. I would say, is he hurt?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, and who knows, maybe he is. But Hanif has not played well this season, and Wojo, early in the conference season, was giving him more and more minutes and said, he's got to be out there. And now he's basically said, you know what? We're gonna go with the tiniest guard lineup we can possibly imagine, and we're gonna score a bunch of points and hope we can get just enough stops to make it work. So he's making adjustments on the fly. He's adapting like we always wanted him to.
Right. Yeah. And he's taken the roster he has and has been able to squeeze 10 Big East wins out of him. 19 overall in the season. So I mean, he's right there on the cusp. And just waiting for the official announcement that he's a tournament team.
Right.
That his team is a tournament team. So, and it was cool that I thought he took the microphone at the end of the game, thanked the crowd and everything. Yep. I thought that was really cool because he wants the fans to know that he appreciates them.
Right.
And that's how you build a program, is making sure when you have a packed house like that, making sure everybody comes back, because that's the last home game for Marquette this year.
Right.
So
yep.
The next time he'll see that crowd will be next November.
Right.
So,
well, and hopefully this builds the crowds for next season, right? I mean, Wojo is not – he is as far away from buzz as you can get in terms of personality, right? He's not a rah-rah guy. He's more of a kind of, hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Good game. We'll talk to you later. You know, he's very straightforward, not super demonstrative, unless he gets angry about, you know, a missed dunk or something. So he's playing with his personality and trying to build up enthusiasm in the program, and I think that's up to the fans to respond to.
And every year the program gets a little bit more in the likeness of what he wants it to be, because every year there's more players that signed with him and guys he went out and recruited and guys his staff had targeted. So, and it'll be even more so his team. Next year the only guy on the team who he didn't sign will be Dwayne Wilson.
Right.
Everyone else.
Dwayne Wilson has totally bought in. So yeah. you'd make an argument that he essentially re-recruited him.
Yeah, and Dwayne never played a minute for any other coach.
Right.
Because he registered his first year, so he's only played for Wojo. So.
Well, and look at what – I mean, we were very hard on Caden Reinhardt early in the season.
Yes.
And we've been hard on him from time to time. But, I mean, what you got out of Caden this season, I think that's a reflection of Wojo, right? I mean, we knew Caden was a chucker and was kind of a – dominated the ball at his stops at UNLV and USC, and he was much more, especially later in the conference season, he deferred a lot more than you might otherwise think.
Maybe a little more. I think
Wojo, not a lot more,
yeah,
but
I think Wojo has tried to squeeze that out of him, though.
Yeah.
And I think maybe early on, maybe he was shooting a little too much, and Wojo maybe kind of pulled back the reins a little bit and put Sam Hauser in the starting lineup and try to send a message that way, but excuse me. But yeah, I think that's another. You know, Reinhardt is a guy that Wojo and staff targeted. Said,
yep.
This is a guy we need for this season. And yeah, for some of the maddening shots he takes sometimes, he has had some huge, huge moments. We don't win the Villanova game without him. And
correct.
There have been some other games where he's hit some really big shots. He hit some really big shots in the Xavier win.
Yep.
Yeah, so he's had some really good games. And if he can get hot in the tournament, who knows? I mean, Marquette could probably beat 90% of the teams that are going to make the tournament if they are shooting well from deep, like they have in some of the wins down the stretch here.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing, is this team could beat anyone, but they can also be destroyed by anyone, right?
Yeah, they could. Yeah, I mean, if they have one of their worst shooting performances and have a typical bad defensive game, they could lose to one of the 16 seeds.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Not that they're going to play one of them, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. But it's very interesting, because we talked. You mentioned Hauser and if you mention Howard, like those two freshmen, think about, I mean, yes, we know they're talented, but think about what they contributed to this team this season. Did you expect to get as much out of Hauser as you got this season?
Definitely,
like, look at
not.
That Creighton game. I mean, he was playing solid defense, had a couple of blocks, you know, now all of a sudden he can drive.
Yeah, maybe this is revisionist history, but, you know, I think looking back before the season, I thought Hauser would play just out of necessity because he just didn't have bigs, but I thought he'd probably be overwhelmed. And Marquette would be forced to play smaller a lot. So, yeah, I definitely got way more than I thought out of Sam Hauser. And honestly, before the season, I thought Howard would be buried on the bench.
Yeah.
I mean, we had Tracy Carter to start the year, right. So I thought it was going to be Tracy Carter, Andrew Rousey, and I thought Howard was going to be the third guy.
Yeah.
And even have to split time with Dwayne Wilson coming off the bench. So I didn't expect him to play nearly as much as he did. But those are two guys who came in and contributed a lot. And hopefully, you know, knock on wood, they're going to be contributing for the next 3 years
right.
after this. So I'm certainly excited for the future and seeing what other kind of guys Wojo's bringing in. You know, whatever the recruiting rankings say, if they fit what Wojo wants them to do, I mean, they should make the team better, all these guys that they're bringing in. And who knows, maybe Greg Elliott will be one of those guys. He was at the game yesterday, unless he changed his plans last minute.
No, he was there.
I was under the impression that he was there. So he certainly saw what a great Marquette home crowd could be like, and I hope he enjoyed his time. And if Wojo and the staff still want him on board, I hope. Maybe he'll sign up. Maybe he'll commit in the next few weeks.
Well, and look at, you know, we talk about Helt. I mean, he's developed. He's a sophomore. Big men develop slower, and he contributed late in the conference season.
That was one of my hopes before the season. Yeah. When we were making our picks before the season, I said, my hope for Matt Helt this year is that when we get to March, we will be saying, I am comfortable with Matt Helt being the starting center next year. Well, we had to be comfortable with Helt being the starting center this year.
Correct.
He had moved in the starting lineup and took some minutes away, and hopefully he will only continue to develop, and halfway through next year he'll have Froehling by his side.
Yep.
So, I mean, and some freshmen who we'll see how they can contribute in their first year with Theo John and IKK and how those guys do as young guys. But so Helt was on the way for him, and I like the Helt's kitchen thing.
Yeah, that was neat.
I think that's something that could grow and be a real – I think that could be a thing. Over.
Well, I don't know. Do we know if they showed it on TV in the TV broadcast?
I think I've seen it before in TV broadcasts.
So okay.
Who knows? Maybe it'll even be a little more popular. But I think Helt has made great progress, and he's still got 2 years to go. So hopefully he can be a steady contributor. So.
Well, and we saw like last yesterday, and then perhaps in the Rhodes Xavier game, Fisher. We talked about it in the last podcast. Fisher was really struggling after getting benched and was fouling a lot and having issues. The last two games of the season, maybe he's shaken off, you know, some of that the mental issues, or maybe the officials aren't watching him like a hawk anymore, or who knows. But he's definitely contributing again, which can only bode well for the team down the road.
Marquette needs him out there.
Yeah.
Offensively, anyway. And if that's the thing that's been so frustrating with him. We mentioned that ridiculous foul stat in the last podcast. It was like 15 fouls in less than 40 minutes of playing time. It was just crazy. Yeah, he's dialed it back a little bit this week. We'll see. Again, that's kind of a roller coaster thing.
Right.
Go up and down, and hopefully the bad side of it doesn't creep up in the Big East or NCAA tournaments. But, he was pretty good this past week. So, Marquette will need more of that offensively, especially as they get into tournament play. And if, you know, the outside shooting isn't there, it really needs to be if Marquette's going to win any game. But it's nice to have that reliable big man who can get you an easy bucket when you need one.
Right. Now, one of the things that the Big East has always had the reputation for is that it's a very physical league, you know, with a lot of fouls and a lot of physicality that would normally be called elsewhere. And then when you get into the tournament, all these teams are used to a physical game and it gets called pretty tight. You know, do you put any validity in that, A? And then B, do you think that Marquette, not being one of those physical teams — I'm trying to be delicate about how I describe Marquette — they're not a physical team, right? Do you think that serves them better in the tournament?
I don't know. I think their three-point shooting serves them best in the tournament.
Right.
If they can get in a situation against a team that doesn't defend the three-point arc very well, and if they're shooting well from three-point land, then they could beat just about anybody. Physicality, I don't know if that's maybe more anecdotal or just something, just a label we kind of put on the Big East that I don't know if it necessarily helps them significantly more than any other conference. No, I don't know if I don't know if I'd put much into the physicality part of whether it's going to affect Marquette one way or the other. As their shooting goes, that's how far they're going to go.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think that's correct, that the 3-point shoot, you know, they could very well have an off night, but even on their off nights, they're still shooting like 45% from three. You know, so that's the great equalizer. In fact, during the Creighton games, one of the things I think it was with something like 15 minutes to go in the second half, that Creighton and Marquette had largely the same shooting percentage from an overall shooting percentage. It was just that Marquette was making 60% of their shots from three versus Creighton making 60% of their shots from two. And that was whole difference.
When you trade threes for twos, the math works in your favor.
Correct. Correct. You know, and they're able, you know, so some of the things we talked about early in the season, we thought, you know, rebounding would be an issue. And that hasn't – that I mean, it hasn't been great.
No.
And it's let us down sometimes in key situations like that Seton Hall game. But it hasn't been a catastrophe that I thought it would be.
Right, yeah. It's not like Marquette has lost games because the rebounding is just terrible.
Right.
Like, I think the games that Marquette has lost, usually they just had a bad defensive performance as a team.
Right.
Maybe some one game or two that the three-point shots just didn't fall.
Right.
But, yeah, I'd say most of the Marquette losses this year, you would say they just played poorly defensively.
Right. So do you think going into the Big East tournament that Marquette is on is one of the better teams in the Big East in terms of the back half of the conference season, or are they not really different?
I think they are what they are. They're middle of the road. They're fourth, fifth place team. I mean, yeah, they finished fourth. They got the four seed.
Right.
So I wouldn't necessarily put them in top part or the bottom part. I think they're accurately judged.
Right.
Right there in the middle.
Right.
I mean, they could beat anyone in the middle on any given night, and they would have to play very well to beat Butler or Villanova, and they'd have to play really poor to lose to St. John's, Georgetown, or DePaul.
Yeah.
So I think that's what they are. They're a middle-of-the-road Big East team, and I mean that in a good way. I mean, they're right in the middle of a very good conference.
Well, at least we avoid DePaul. The only way we play DePaul is if we play them in the conference final, and at that point...
That would be amazing.
That would be bonkers, A, and then B, losing to DePaul at that point would not matter other than just being really, really upset
and
about it.
Dang tragedy that DePaul would get the Big East automatic bid in the tournament.
Oh, my God. That would bust some bubbles for sure.
Maybe even one of our own, but that is funny. Hey, one thing I do want to just talk about real quick, Phil, since Saturday was senior day, maybe just touch on the three seniors in the Marquette program and kind of just any thoughts of what they've contributed to the program over the years. And why don't we start with the big winner from yesterday? That's Luke Fisher, who got engaged. We mentioned that earlier. But I think I look at Luke as a guy who just came along at an important time in the program because he transferred in under Buzz, never played under Buzz. But, you know, when he became eligible, Marquette was just so thin. And they needed him so badly. And, you know, obviously he didn't help them get many wins that first year because there just wasn't much around him. But Luke, to me, has just been a – you know, his defensive struggles have been well noted, but his offensive consistency has been so important to this team. Just having a big man in the middle that you can rely on over the last 2.5 years, he's been a guy that Wojo really needed.
Yeah, well, and I think the only reason people get frustrated with Luke is I think when he's really, really on, like, you're like, oh my, this is an all Big East caliber type center, right?
Right.
But then when he's really off and fouling 5 times in 6 minutes, you know, you're kind of like, what is going on here? So I think he has been very important to the program in terms of providing, you know, something in the middle that will help the team and clearly at a position of need over the last 2 years previous to Matt Helt, where there was just no other option, right?
Yeah.
And so we're probably to his disservice. We're probably using him in ways he shouldn't have ever been used simply because that was the makeup of the team. So for him to step up and shoulder that burden and play as well as he has, I think that's a great reflection on him.
Yeah, I think he's had a nice career overall because it's going to very likely end in the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
I mean, he'll play his last game as a Golden Eagle in an NCAA tournament game, and I think he deserves that. I think all these guys do.
Well, and he should, barring something catastrophic. I think he's 7 points away from 1,000. So I think.
Yeah. I think Anonymous Eagle said he's at 995.
Okay.
Or 995 as a Golden Eagle, so taking away his Indiana points.
Right. So he's real close. He'll get 1,000, presumably, in the Big East tournament.
Right.
So that's an accomplishment, especially only having played, you know, what, two and a half seasons?
He's played 2.5 seasons because he basically lost 3 seasons because he lost a semester each in his freshman year and at the beginning of his sophomore year. So,
right.
So, yeah, that's a solid college career scoring 1,000 points no matter how you add it up. So,
right, exactly.
Yeah, he's had a good career. And you know, let's talk about Caton really quick, briefly, because obviously he's been to the program briefly, just 1 year, but we kind of touched on it a minute ago, Phil. He's a guy who Wojo needed. Wojo liked. Wojo, he wanted him, and he's been up and down at times, but he's had a great career.
Yeah, well, and he's very critical to the program in several different ways in terms of the things he's been able to do for the team. And you know, he plays the 3 if he needs to. He plays the 4 if he needs to. I mean, he can be. He's probably
a more underrated aspect of Caton Riley is that. I think in a perfect world, he'd love to be on a team where he's the 2.
Right.
You know, or 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And, you know, having to play more guard bigger players and rebound more. Probably isn't maybe what he wanted to do in a perfect world, but he could have gone anywhere else he wanted, essentially. He probably had other offers to play for teams where he would have been a guard, a more traditional guard, a 2-3. But he chose to play at Marquette, and he bought it. And Wojo said, you're going to have to guard several positions. And he said, fine, let's do it. And he did it. So I think it's something that probably we don't talk about enough with Kate.
Right, is that his willing to be subservient to the needs of the team, just like Luke in terms of maybe playing differently than he might otherwise want to. You know, I don't think Luke wants to be out on the perimeter guarding screens and hedging hard any more than Caton wants to be playing the four. But, you know, so – and Caton contribute. I mean, he's one of those feast or famine players, right? I mean, he can drive you insane cheering for him when he's chucking from, you know, the decal, you know, 35 feet away. But then he comes up big against a team like Villanova and swings the game and wins the game for you. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I can't imagine this team going the way they have without him. But, you know, it's you're taking the good with the bad.
Yeah, you take the good with the bad. And some of the good has been pretty awesome. Like,
right.
Yeah, like some of those step back long twos or crazy threes. You're like, oh my gosh, oh, it went in.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed, I guess, when it all said and done, the roller coaster of emotions that has been the Caton Reinhardt experience has been pretty fun.
Right.
Yeah, he's done it, and I hope he has a good Big East and NCAA tournament.
So. Yeah. Well, and again, both he and Luke are capable of producing tremendous results. You know, so I mean, if you get good games out of them as well as everyone else, this team has a tremendous upside. It's just a question whether you're going to get that. That's probably the epitaph on their career. Is they could have been really great. Most of the time they were, but sometimes they just weren't.
Again, positives and negatives. And one more senior to break down is, of course, Juwan Johnson. We mentioned earlier, had a pretty good senior day. Got Marquette off to a great start that really never looked back from. But looking back over his career as a whole, talk about some ups and downs. I mean, when he first arrived, he hardly played at all. His freshman year, people were wondering, you know, was he going to transfer? And maybe that thought did cross his mind a couple times. And maybe if Buzz had stuck around, he may have transferred and left Marquette because apparently he maybe didn't fit in with Buzz as well as he thought he was going to. But Wojo came along and he decided to give Wojo a shot. And who knows if he may have even considered transferring after playing a year or so for Wojo. But he has stuck through it. And I think for the most part, he has grown quite a bit as a player. I mean, he's, you know, he came in as a top 50 recruit and he has shown a lot more flashes of that top 50 talent over the last year or two. And he's another guy I'm really rooting for to have a big last couple games here, whether he's got two games left in his career or five or six left. Who knows how many he's got left. But I'm happy for him that, A, he stuck with the team he originally committed to. A lot of kids don't do that.
Yep.
And that's their right to do if they decide they want to go somewhere else. But he committed to Marquette, and he decided to stick with it. And he grew as a player, and he's become an important part of the program. So I'm happy for him that he is going to, like Luke and Caton, finish his career in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, well, and he was the one I probably felt the worst for if we didn't make the tournament because he's never been around and he did stuck it out. I mean, he was probably the one player that was always rumored every year he's going to transfer. Whether that's true or not, who knows? But he stuck it out. I think the Creighton game is kind of a microcosm of Juwan Johnson's career at Marquette, right? You saw such tremendous offensive potential, and he's a solid defender when he wants to be. But then you can see where he just frustrates at times, where maybe he doesn't get back on defense, or he.
Yeah, I think it's the defensive part. He's good at anticipating and getting steals. Maybe not so much on the ball, or you know, sticking with his man, whether he's in a zone.
I think he's a great defender within his whatever his scheme is, but he's not a great defender within the scheme of whatever the rest of the team is trying to do. Because I think that's where I get frustrated is, you know, he gambles on defense, which is fine, except that it then forces all sorts of rotations and the team scrambling and stuff. So it's flashy when he gets steals and can go dunk and stuff like that. It's tremendous. But I think Juwan Johnson is one of those players where again, he can be frustrating at times, but you see way more good in him than not, right? In terms of the way he is as a player, and by all accounts is a good teammate. And look at the way he handled the benching after the Georgetown game, right? I mean, he got benched and then he came back and played the next three or four games and contributed, especially in the Creighton game. You know, he could have easily shut it down or checked out after that. So I mean that shows you that he's coachable and stuff. So I with these three players, I don't think I'm going to miss the inconsistencies, but I will miss them as players.
I think that's another thing. Like, we watch these guys so much, we see their warts more than their upside sometimes. And I think when you look back on their careers, especially Luke and Juwan, just because they've been here longer,
right?
King, he's been good, and he did what he needed to do for 1 year. But when you look at Luke and Juwan, who have been here for longer periods of time, when you look back at what they contributed to the team, especially if it ultimately leads to an NCAA berth, and like we hope it and believe it will now at this point, and if it leads to a memorable moment like winning a big game in the NCAA tournament, and even if it doesn't, they'll always have the Villanova win.
Right.
Honestly, I should have said this about Caden a minute ago. No matter what happens from here on out, I will always remember Caden Reinhart as the guy who went off and helped us beat number one Villanova.
Yeah, but him and Dwayne Wilson will be forever remembered for that game, right? Yeah. I mean, it was their game. So these guys will be guys that you and you wonder if with Caden, you wonder if he had been here more than a year, if we kind of would have embraced him even more, like he would have become our player, like kind of like how Rousey will be next year, right?
Yeah,
that'll be what's interesting.
So good for those seniors, and again, I hope hopefully they got a few more big wins to come. We already kind of broke down the Big East tournament a little bit. We kind of both kind of feel have a good shot against a tough Seton Hall team, and then likely Villanova in the next round when regular season, I guess you would call that postseason now, but you know what I mean. That'll be the last game before Selection Sunday. And I still think it's enough to get in the NCAA tournament. Hey, real quick, with just some business items, talking about the all Big East teams and whatnot, those were announced today. The players of the year will be announced on Wednesday when everyone gets to the Big East tournament. No Marquette players made either the first, second, or honorable mentions all Big East. Just real quickly, the first team all Big East, Jalen Brunson, Marcus Foster, Josh Hart, Trevon Blewett, Angel Delgado, and Andrew Travitz. I can't necessarily argue with any of those guys, I don't think. I mean, they all had great seasons.
Right.
And I certainly anticipate Josh Hart being the player of the year.
Yep, I agree. And he may even be the national player of the year.
That's the thing. He's in the discussion for national player of the year. It's tough for Marquette because they have so many guys who average right around 10 points a game.
Right.
There's if you're going to pick a Marquette player to kind of reward them for their season, to be on the All Big East team, whether it's honorable mention, which one would you pick?
Yeah.
Who would you pick as the MVP for this team? I mean, maybe it's Marcus Howard. Maybe it's Rousey.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, but here's the thing I struggle with. So none of Marquette players ended up on the top three All Big East, but they had a historic offense, right? Like, at some point, that has to be rewarded in the Big East awards, right? I mean,
yeah. Well, now the one reward that they did get is the All Big East freshman team. Marcus Howard was one of six players selected for that.
Who were the six on that list?
Kamar Baldwin, Justin Patton, Shamari Pons, Marcus Lovett, Dante DiVincenzo.
Okay.
So, four of those guys, Baldwin, Patton, Pons, and Lovett, were unanimous. Howard was not unanimous.
That I struggle with a lot.
Howard may have been fallen one vote short of unanimous. It doesn't say exactly how many votes he got, but he was not a unanimous selection.
Can the coaches vote for their own players?
They cannot, but if you get 9 votes, you're unanimous.
Okay. Yeah. So that means two coaches, one Wojo and one somebody else.
Yeah, it could be literally.
Looked at Marcus Howard's, performance this year and went,
not one of the top six freshmen.
No, yeah, that I have trouble with that.
I mean, he unless somebody shockingly passed, I don't think there's anybody who can pass him on Sunday. I mean, Marcus Howard led the nation in 3-point shooting this year, and it's not a small sample.
And he's second in free throw percentage, I think, too, behind his own brother.
Yeah, way up there.
Just
a historic season that I think has been largely overlooked because he doesn't play as many minutes as some other guys, but he's been incredible.
Yeah.
He's had a great season. I think we've stumped for him as Big East Freshman of the Year, even though I think it's probably going to be Patton or Pons now.
Yep.
But he certainly had an amazing season. I'm just surprised he wasn't a unanimous Big East All Freshman Team selection. But we'll find out those awards, and Coach of the Year will be announced on Wednesday as well. I'm guessing it would probably be Holtman? Butler?
Chris Holtman?
I think Jay Wright, really. People say, well, you're the number one team, you finish number one. They kind of look at Coach of the Year as Overachiever of the Year. But and maybe you do go Butler's coach that way. But I think Jay Wright's done an incredible job. He's basically been playing six guys this year. So.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think I tend towards Holtmann just because Butler played above expectations. You know, I thought Butler was going to be fourth or fifth in the conference, not second in the conference. So I would pick Holtmann for that reason because, I mean, Villanova was expected to be top of the conference. So, yeah, he did a good job, but, you know, it's kind of one of those, great, you did what you were supposed to do. You know, as opposed to Holtmann, probably.
Yeah, he overachieved, but he did a great job. And he beat Villanova twice, so right. My guess he'll probably be the coach of the year. So.
Yeah,
and he'd be a worthy selection.
With the Big East awards, do you think the fact that this team is such a great three-pointing team, like universally, do you think that hurts all of the individual players?
Yeah, because because nobody stands out.
Right.
You don't have anybody who scores 20 points a game or 24 points.
Right.
You know, they play good team ball. Is for the stead. That's for the sake of winning. You spread it out. You don't know who to plan for on any given night. So, yeah, it may cost you postseason awards, but if it gets you in the tournament, I don't think these guys care.
Right. Yeah, I agree. They're keeping their eye on the prize.
And so hopefully that will be at least a few more wins that we can be excited about before the season comes to a close. But I think when we all take a step back and look at this season, I think we can be pretty happy with it. And I think the team in Wojo has done a pretty good job.
Yeah, I would say if we got these results at the beginning of the year and said, would you take it or leave it? I would have run to the bank with it. I would not have questioned it even a little bit. Yeah. So I'm pleased. It was a bit of a cardiac event to get to this point.
I mean,
but
what fun would it be if it was easy?
That's true.
Yeah,
true.
It was certainly enjoyable. So we'll see how many big wins they have left. So we'll be keeping an eye on the Big East tournament this week. As always, we thank you for listening here on Scrambled Eggs. We welcome your feedback. Hit us up on Twitter. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is M-O-O-O-F 23. His dog is barking at us right now because he wants us to wrap it up. You can hit us up on the team handle, Crack Sidewalks. You can hit us up on cracksidewalks.com. Leave your comments there. You can rate us and review us on iTunes. And you can like our Scrambled Eggs Facebook page. We post a podcast there as well. Phil is hopefully, hey, maybe we'll surprise people and have an epic Big East tournament run this week.
Oh, yeah, we can only hope. That would be great. I'd love to pod on Sunday talking about what a great Big East championship that was and whatever. As long as Selection Sunday rolls around and we can pod about being in the tournament, I don't care.
And that's when we will check in with you next on Selection Sunday, hopefully barring some kind of disaster, talking about an NCAA tournament bid.
Oh, could you imagine how depressed that podcast will be?
Podcast would be canceled.
Yeah, you can't. Forever. We're done podcasting.
Until then, seashells.